Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Hello, infidels. Hello, infidels. It's been a long, long, long decade in coming. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. That's my new motto that I created just for you for the new opening. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. The new hours, of course, are the ones you're listening to. Prime time, drive time, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific on the best stations in the United States of America. And I want to go to the news, and believe me, there's a lot of news. We have a new communism emerging around the globe, from New York City to the White House to the Vatican itself. They may call it progressivism, but it's really the same old Marxism, the same exact rhetoric, and I will prove it to you. When I wrote my book, Trickle Up Poverty, I was not specifically thinking of the new mayor of New York, but he may as well have read the book and then reverse-engineered it, because that's exactly what he has in mind for the people of New York, which is to make certain that poverty trickles up to the middle class. Because the fact of the matter is, the rhetoric, whether it be that of Obama or of de Blasio or Bill Clinton, did you hear Bill Clinton at the inauguration? Listen to Bill Clinton at the inauguration of the new socialist mayor of New York. You got to hear this.
This inequality problem bedevils the entire country, and I can tell you from my work, much of the world. But it is not just a moral outrage, it is a horrible constraint on economic growth and on giving
you get
people
the picture, right? Now, what's fascinating about this, whether it be Bill Clinton to the preacher at the inauguration calling New York City a plantation in 2014, the left wing is working around the clock to split the country farther and farther apart, divide us and conquer us. They now call themselves progressives, but what they really do is they take from the working middle class to give to the very, very rich supporters who pay no taxes. I can prove it. GE earned over $5 billion last year and paid zero in taxes. Microsoft, Google, etc., using double Irish finagling in order to pay nothing. And these are the friends. These are the friends of the progressives. And what do they do with the money? Well, of course, first they line their own pockets, the pockets of their cronies. They give to the welfare leeches, the fake disability criminals, the illegal aliens who take all and give nothing back but their cheap labor. Here we have Bill Clinton, who is a 0.01% man himself, talking about inequality. A Clinton who hangs around with the richest people on earth like Ron Burkle, Bill Gates, Stephen Bing. A Clinton who earns between $200,000 to $350,000 a speech, and they're talking about inequality. Well, they've been pushing Hillary as a moderate lately. So do you think that means it's going to be a Hillary de Blasio ticket to shore up the so-called progressive vote? How many progressives are there? How many progressives can there be? All we hear about is progressive this, progressive that. What about the American taxpayer? What about the fact that every poll in America shows that we, the working middle class, are the largest majority? America is a center-right nation. It is not a left-wing fanatic nation. So they've been pushing Hillary as a moderate lately, right? What does that mean? Well, then they need a de Blasio on the left to shore up the so-called communist progressive vote. So on the other side, who is it going to be? Well, I'm looking ahead now. It's going to be Christie. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's who the Republicans are going to push forward. That's where the money is. And logic would then dictate that Christie would pick a conservative such as Colonel Alan West to bring the conservatives back to the voting booth. But my guess is that Christie will pick a leftist like Ms. Snow to try to reach out for the more liberal voter, therefore damning the Republicans to the dustbin of history. What do you think the chances would be for the GOP to do the right thing? The answer is about zero. And I think their chances of winning in 2016 are about the same. Welcome to Trickle Up Poverty. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. Many of you heard of me, but you really have never heard me. All I can say is give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And by the way, we trademarked it, so don't try to steal it. there's plenty of news out there. Here we have a blizzard coming into New York, which is sort of not unusual. When I was a boy, there were blizzards in December, January, February, and March. But now, of course, the global warning con men and women trapped on the ice in the Antarctic are calling today's storm a result of global warming. I actually think that the global warming scam artist, beginning with Al Gorleone, the head of the Gorleone crime family, in my estimation, the Gorleone crime family should be forced to pay reparations for the global warming lies they have pushed and the billions upon billions of dollars they have stolen from the Treasury in the form of grants, contracts, carbon credits, and whatnot. But, you know, that's the news. There's a lot more that I'm going to do today than that with you on the show, than those two topics. I want to welcome you first to the show. I haven't done that. You realize, of course, I'm in a new time slot. Many of you have been with me from the beginning. And I'd like to ask you something. What is your first memory of the Savage Nation radio show? Remember, I began in 1994 on a local station. It was KSFO in San Francisco. And I will give out a free book to the listener who can prove that he's the or he or she is the longest listening listener. And that will happen during the show. But I want to ask you something else. And this is the real question. I'm not going to ask it of you now. I'm going to take your calls at 855-400-7282. You know why I want to take your calls? Because if you get through my call screener and you get on the Savage Nation on this memorable day, you will reach more people than you've met in your entire life. I want you to think about that. You may feel powerless. You may feel that the old letter to the editor days are over, and they are over. When have you last written a letter to the editor? Never. The editors are all left-wing pinko fanatics who throw your American letters in the garbage bin. So what do you have left? You have talk radio. That's all you have left. So if you get through the screener at 855-400-7282, you'll remember this day for the rest of your life. I first want to thank some people who made this possible. I know you think, well, why do it? Because I'll tell you why, because nothing happens by itself. I want to thank Lou and John Dickey, who own the Cumulus Media Networks, for giving me this incredible opportunity. Just remember what this is. I'm on the biggest stations in America. I'm not a newcomer to the business. I've been around for 20 years this March 21st. But I've been on a lot of different stations. And they saw something in me. They believed in me, and they gave me this shot. And believe me, I'll make the most of it. Oh, yeah, I've published 28 books. I've always had a large audience. Before I switched syndicators, I had the third largest audience in America, estimated to be between 8 and 10 million listeners. It then went down when I went to the night slot. My estimation is that given 6 months to a year, this show will be the biggest show in America. And I want to remind you of something else. The numbers don't matter that much to me. Because on the Internet, on Internet radio, I beat Rush. God bless Rush. God bless Rush. He's been around a long time. But check it out. Check the data. The younger people love Savage. The younger people listen to me on their iPhones. It's that simple. But who else do I owe this to? Well, I owe it to my deceased mother, Mother Savage, who, if there is a heaven, is probably tuning in right now as she's cooking for God. Wasn't for her, I wouldn't have had my sense of humor. I wouldn't have had the visits to Radio City Music Hall when I was a little boy to see radio behind the scenes, which stood with me for the rest of my life. I owe it to my father, dead since 1970. He used to listen to the radio, smoke the Philip Morris. I'd lie in his lap. I'd get that secondhand smoke to invigorate my mind. And we listened to the theater of the mind. He used to listen to the Green Hornet, the Inner Sanctum. I remember him saying to me, you know, I like radio better than the movies. I said, why, Dad? He said, because radio is a theater of the mind. You have to imagine things. Well, it's still a theater of the mind. Nothing has changed. I want to thank Janet Weiner, who has slayed all the dragons along the way. I want to thank my son, Russ Weiner, for standing with me during the darkest hours of my life. And I want to thank you, the listener of the Savage Nation, for being with me all these years and for moving with me to the night show and coming with me today to the day show. There are many other people to thank, and I can't mention them all on the program right now. And it's not that I'm too emotional at all. I have no emotional feelings right now because I'm too into the moment. In the studio right now, as I speak with you across America on the greatest stations in the country, and I don't have to mention them, they're the stations that everyone has ever wanted to be on from the day they entered radio. I know the day I entered radio, these are magical names. I can name them all, but I won't do it because the other hundreds that I won't mention will feel slighted. But you know what they are. Everybody wants to be on them. My competitor, who used to be on them, lost 52 stations. I got them all. I'll make the most of them. There's only one live being in the studio with me right now, and his name is Teddy. He's a 10.5-pound toy poodle. He's 10.5 years old, and he's been with me from the beginning. He's the smartest dog in the world because he's listened to every radio show over the last 10 years, and I'm sure some of it has seeped in. I do not think he would vote for a progressive. Let's put it to you that way. He knows that all that would mean is they'd steal his bones and tell him they're doing it for the sake of equality. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. By the way, go over to michaelsavage.com when you get a spare minute and take a look at that incredible picture of me and Ted in my 1970 Jag XKE convertible, which I bought this last year. You'll see a picture that is so beautiful. It's unbelievable. Then there's a great story from the Daily News. Michael Savage takes over Sean Hannity's slot. It was published on Monday by David Hinckley. It's a fabulous article, but what's interesting is the print edition of the New York Daily News had a different headline. It was called Civilized Savage, which I thought was interesting. I mean, the headline on the internet was conservative radio host Michael Savage will now hold forth on WABC in the 3-6 slot. He'll take over from Sean Hannity. He promises an interesting Obamacare-free zone. Okay, but the headline in the newspaper was Civilized Savage. I mean, I can almost ask you this question. Have I become too civilized? Now let's go to the callers. Daniel on KSFO, I think you're a winner. Daniel, welcome from KSFO land. Go ahead. What's your topic?
Hi, Michael. I haven't spoke to you on the radio in probably 18 years. You said you started in KSFO in 94. Actually, no, that's not true. KGO on the weekend.
You're right. And I did it as a sort of honey trap to see who would remember. My first radio show was on the sister station in an overnight slot that catered to the progressive losers who hated anyone who made a living. And I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I did a fill-in slot. I had another career. I was fairly successful. But I wanted to do radio because all the books I had published previous to that, I would do book tours, and some of the great radio guys would say to me, you know, you got a great voice. You'd be good on the radio. Why don't you consider a career in radio? Well, that was like saying, why don't you become an astronaut? How do you become a talk show host? I didn't know how to do it. So I did as a test in 1994. I had such hatred come at me from the so-called progressives of the Bay Area because all I did was talk about the damage that affirmative action had done to qualified white males. They went ballistic. They went crazy. They were so hateful that they would make Bill de Blasio look like a conservative. I drove home at 6 o'clock that morning, and the whole way home, I looked in my rearview mirror. I thought I was being followed, and I said when I got home, when my wife and kids woke up, I said to them, I will never do radio again as long as I live. I can't take the hatred of these left-wingers. They're sick. Well, of course, the next day the phones rang off the hook. The program director said, you're incredible. Would you like a full-time job? I said, I'll never do a night show again. And, of course, then I did day shows, etc. I want to send you a free copy of any of my books. I'll send you the novel, A Time for War, which memorializes the crash of the helicopter, the old flying sea cow, where 22 Navy SEALs were sent to their deaths by someone in the Obama administration. I dedicated this novel, A Time for War, because I tried to awaken America. Why did they put all those SEAL Team 6 heroes on an old helicopter? Why didn't they break them up into three fast strike helicopters? Who made this decision in the Defense Department? Who made it in the Obama administration? Why are the Republicans silent on this? These are questions, man, and I want them answered, and I want a hearing, and you want to hear equality, you want to hear fairness. How about fairness to the families whose hearts are broken by somebody in the Obama administration who killed those Navy SEALs? Would that be equality? Stay on the line. I'll send you a book. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
It is daytime in the Savage Nation. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. It's amazing. It's the first show I've done in the daylight. I mean, my eyes hurt me. I need sunglasses. I've been doing night shows for so long, I don't know what it's like to be alive and awake during the day. Normally, at this hour, I'm in an Indian buffet getting ready to become comatose to take a nap for the night show. But since I'm now doing a live drive time show on the East Coast, I mean, forget about lunch. I have to go to a breakfast buffet in a bad hotel. I'll tell you about that tomorrow morning. We're also going to talk about the scam, the global warming scam artists who are trapped on the ice, for example, in the Antarctic. How much did that cost us? How much did the world pay for these snotty elitists to get stuck on the ice? How many icebreakers need to be sent for these losers? Number two, how much carbon was expended in icebreakers, in helicopters, in aircraft to take these academic microcephalics off the ice? You understand what I'm talking about. Truthfully, I believe that we need to demand reparations from the entire global warming industry, starting with Al Gorleone. Let's start with Al's planes, trains, and other apparatus that he's been able to buy with the global warming scam. That would go a long way towards creating some equality in the United States of America. WABC, Andrew, you're the next up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you went a long way from the son of an immigrant having to wear dead man's pants to number one in radio.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, it is. That's one of my favorite stories, is Dead Man's Pants. And I wouldn't say unfortunately it's true. It is true. I didn't want to wear Dead Man's Pants, but that's what I wore. But here we are. Now, you know what's interesting? You've raised that topic. My father was an immigrant. My grandfather was an immigrant. They didn't need any government to help them work. They died poor. They told me the baton was passed to me as man-child in the promised land. I was born here. They told me I'd have to work to get what I wanted, and work I did. I mean, it took me 20 years in some cases to get what I wanted, but I didn't ask the government to help me. I just asked the government to get out of my way. In fact, the government stood in my way. After I got my doctorate from the University of California, they said white men need not apply. They said we need to be fair. We need to be equal. Well, take a look at your universities today. Take a look what they're teaching them there. That's fairness. That's what it leads to. Fairness is a code word for something else. You can fill in the blanks. Don't be confused by the rhetoric. It's the new communism. And I'll explain it in great detail over the next months and years. Right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Welcome to the new Savage Nation. The new Savage Nation. It's a kick working during the day. I don't know what I'm going to do with the rest of the day. That's looming now. After 3 o'clock, I don't know what to do with myself. I have to take up flying, the saxophone. I'll have to take up modern folk dance. I'll have to reread Lenin, Marx. I'll have to reread them in the original Russian. Of course, I don't have to reread Marx and Lenin. I don't have to reread Freud and Jung. I read them all, and frankly, we're hearing it all over again in the progressive socialist communist movement that is alive and well. How many progressives can there be in this country? There aren't that many. There are a small faction of academic losers, a very tiny percentage of politicians, and yet they pretend they speak for the people. They don't speak for the people. I have a simple solution to save America. I don't think it could be enacted because the Republicans don't exist and there's no guts out there. But here's the answer. And I'll give it to you real simple. You go on unemployment insurance, you lose the right to vote. You get welfare, you lose the right to vote. And then you have an incentive to find a job and get off unemployment. Then you vote again. Because if you continue to grant the right to vote to people who are sucking the system dry, we will all lose. There'll be nothing left. Look at Cuba. Look at every other Marxist country on the planet. And take a look at what happens when you let the people dictate the terms of a nation. They will eat you alive like locusts. They will decimate the middle class. They will take every dime out of your pocket and they'll still say it's unfair because you may have a better pair of shoes, a better house, and a better wife. They'll want your shoes, your house, and your wife. That's the way it works. You go on welfare? Too bad. Okay, we'll take care of you. But here's what's going to happen. You're not voting while you're on welfare. Then the people who work and pay taxes can determine the course of the nation, the ship, the nation. You can determine the direction of the ship if you have a vote in it. How can you ever vote in it if you're busy working? And the so-called progressive academic communist socialist movement has nothing to do but scheme around the clock on methods to steal the real democracy, the shreds of democracy that are left in this nation. What do you think of my idea? Should people on welfare lose the right to vote and regain it when they are off welfare? What's wrong with that idea? Tell me what is wrong with that idea. Where is it written in the social contract that if you're living on the back of my labor, you should have the same rights and benefits that I have? Tell me where it's written. Tell me where it's written that if you're sticking your fingers in my pocket to take half of my salary away from me before I even get it, that you should have the same rights in determining the course of the ship of state. Tell me where it's written. Show me where. Show me where that's written. How could it be that there are more people on federal disability payments right now, over 12 million grifters on federal disability under Obama, than there are people living in the nation of Greece? 12 million Americans. Don't tell me they're all disabled. You know they're not. How'd you like to call with some disability horror stories? Maybe it's your neighbor. Maybe it's your brother-in-law. Maybe it's the deadbeat pot smoker next door. Don't get me started on the toxicants and marijuana. And don't tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about. It's the most dangerous of all drugs. Marijuana is being used to completely ensnare the dopers in this country so they don't even know what's going on around them. Why do you think it's called dope? Why do you think that drug is called dope? Because that's what it does to your brain. But that's another topic for another day. And before you call me up and say this, say that, just Google toxicants in marijuana, and you'll find out that you're killing yourself slowly. Marijuana smoke has more toxicants in it than tobacco smoke. But you wouldn't know that because it's natural, isn't it? Well, tobacco's also natural. In this area, curare is natural. There are many natural poisons. Marijuana is one of them. 855-407-282. There's a lot of topics, and we can't do them all the first minute, my friends, but we can do them all over time. Now let's take some callers. Let's go to, this is an amazing station. WJR is a station in Detroit that everyone in the history of radio has ever wanted to be on. I'm on it live. It's part of the Cumulus Crown. WJR, Kathy, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, welcome to Daytime in Detroit. I live outside of Detroit, and I am loving listening to you. I've never heard you before. Today's the first time.
Oh, it's the first day of the rest of your radio life, I can assure you of that.
You got that right. I've got a topic that bothers me every day. I have a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old. They have to be drug tested for their jobs. Both of them have been employed since they were 14 and changed careers. And they work so hard. And how come the welfare people don't have to be drug tested when my sons are supporting them?
Okay, well, how come the politicians don't have to be drug tested? It would explain most of their policies. I am convinced that if we drug tested or forced Congress to pee in a cup, like most American workers have to do. If you force the senators and the congressmen to pee in a cup, half of them will be thrown out of their job overnight. How many of them are impaired? You look at the things they say. You look at the things they vote on. They talk about global warming in the midst of this blizzard. You talk about global warming while people are trapped on the ice in the Antarctic. You have to assume that they're drugged, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I believe most of them are alcoholics also.
Okay, fine. Alcohol, put that on the list. Put alcohol on the list. Alcohol, marijuana. How about over-the-counter drugs? So-called medications. How many of our politicians are on medications that have impaired their capacity to think?
Most of them.
So listen, we have a big problem in this country. Drugs are the biggest problem of all. I think it's impairing the entire nation. I agree with you that if your kids are being drug tested to work, but welfare recipients are not, it's an example of how twisted everything is. Kathy, I'm going to send you a gift. I'm going to send you a copy of my last book called Not Trickle Up Poverty, which is what Obama's been doing to America, but Trickle Down Tyranny, which is what Obama's been doing to America. Stay on the line. The phone number that opens up a line at 855-407-282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Again, if you get through my call screener and you get on the Savage Nation this memorable day, you will reach more people than you've ever met in your entire life. Can you believe this? It's true. It is true. It is true. Las Vegas, Gene, KBET in Las Vegas. Gene, what's on your mind?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
I have been listening to you, and thank you for talking about the things that no one else talks about.
Give me an example of what I mentioned today that no one else has mentioned.
Not today, but because I just got messed up on the time frame, because I used to listen to you 6 to 9, but, like, I work for the school district, and I know all about the Common Core. But the curse...
Well, I'll tell you something I mentioned today that no one's talking about. The 22 Navy SEALs who were sent to their fiery deaths in Afghanistan a couple of years ago, they were killed, they were assassinated, they were executed. Or it was done because there's a moron working inside the Defense Department who did it to them. Either way, somebody should go to prison for this. How's that for a topic?
Yes, sir. And my nephew was a Navy SEAL. He just recently served 9 years for the United States.
Well, this is one of the greatest military scandals in American history. How could you lose more men in one mission than in the entire history of the Navy SEALs' entire history? And no one has been called on the carpet for it. Who put them in an old, slow-flying helicopter into a combat zone? Who made that decision? Who put them on an old Sea Cow from the Vietnam era? Why were they sent to their deaths? Were they sent to their deaths, or was it an accident? In either case, don't you think the grieving families are entitled to an investigation?
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you. So do I. So do I. Ori, on the internet, one of the listeners who I don't know where you're from, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, it's an honor to speak to you. I'm from New York, and I'm a young guy listening on the internet. You're spot on. The young people are going for Savage. I want to congratulate you first and foremost, and I'm also a radio talk show host myself in Yeshiva University. But I want to ask you, what, given your new time slot and given your new influence, how do you think you're going to be able to shape this upcoming election? I know you spoke about it.
Well, very simply, by exposing the progressives as the new communists to begin with, so people awaken to the rhetoric. Now, let's make it real simple. Keep it simple. The word progressive is a new code word for the new Marxism. Make no mistake about it. The same rhetoric coming out of their mouths can be heard in Havana to this day from Raul Castro. It's no different. It's been tried before. It leads to a disaster. It decimates the middle class. It destroys nations. It's like the plague. It's like locusts eating a nation alive.
But, Michael, we both know how bad the Republican Party is as well, but come election time, what kind of influence are you going to... Are you going to, you know, directly say Christie's a good guy, he's a good candidate, or are we going to...
Well, you know how I feel about that situation. He's not the best candidate. However, you know he's going to be put forward. You know he's a middle-of-the-roader. You know that he's going to sell out the entire conservative wing of the party. You know that's coming. We have to wait for the midterm elections before we get to 2016. The most important election of your life is coming up next November. That is when the fate of the Senate is in the hands of the people. If Obama is allowed to steal the election by flooding the polling booths with millions of illegal aliens, the country is finished forever. It's over. He must be stopped at all costs. We must not permit him to use executive orders to grant amnesty to the illegal aliens who are not citizens, have no right to vote. He did this already. How do you think he got reelected? Everyone seems to be stupid. Just before the last election, do you remember what he did? He granted amnesty to the so-called Dreamers. There were 4 million of them. What was his margin of victory over Romney? About 4 million. Do you think they didn't vote? Of course they voted. Hang up, okay? That's it. Say, look, the vote is the sacred thing here. And if you let them rig elections and steal votes, then you have nothing left at all. Nothing to hang on to, nothing whatsoever. Then you don't even have the will of the people. You have nothing. You have the will of the oligarchy, which is what we have right now. Just pay close attention to Obama coming back from his little Surf City USA vacation on your dime, the highest number of vacations at the highest price of any president in history, because he believes in fairness and he's a progressive, huh? How does that work? Well, it's been done before in the ex-Soviet Union. They preach the same garbage. If you read Animal Farm in high school, you saw the same garbage. They preach one thing and they live the other. In the ex-Soviet Union, they preached about equality and fairness and to help the poor. And all of the workers for the government, the bureaucrats, they all had country houses. They had chauffeured limousines. Does it sound familiar to you? And the people fought over one salami in the butcher store. That's progressivism for you. That's the face of progressivism. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN. The only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Now, of course, I know that our progressive vision isn't universally shared. Some on the far right continue to preach the virtues of trickle-down economics.
Oh, let's pause right there. That's the new socialist mayor of Manhattan who is preaching a new communism. I would counter his lie by saying that he's preaching trickle-up poverty, which is that if you've made it to the middle class, you don't deserve it, that you belong down on the bottom with the welfare recipients in order to make it a fair nation. We've heard this all before. They redefine language. That's how communists work. They're calling anyone who opposes their radical, non-American agenda the far right. That's the new game. And I'll say this. We cannot let these fake communists, whether it be Barack Obama or de Blasio, turn us into their sheeple. We cannot let them trample the American dream. We cannot let them trample America and burn it to the ground. That's all I can say to you, and I'm going to tell you that's the theme of the show. That is why when I wrote my book, Trickle Up Poverty, I wrote it before Obama was elected the first time, and of course, it didn't have any effect. I dedicated it as follows. This is dedicated to all of the men who gave their lives, that we may have the freedom to write and read as we please. That's a very profound dedication. And here we have an administration that never mentions the sacrifice of our troops, spits on our borders, decimates our language, rips up our cultural documents. It's astounding that there's not a greater outcry in the country. But then again, you're afraid of being called a right-winger or a far-right. Well, you should embrace that. If Bill de Blasio defines you as a member of the far-right for opposing his new communism, you should say, I wear it proudly. You've just made me a member of a party. You've given me an identity. Because let me remind you something. It's only members of the, quote, far right who could save us from this cancer of progressivism. It's a cancer that's spreading from the Vatican to the White House. And it's a very dangerous one because it has been tried before. We know where it leads. It never leads to fairness. It leads to the decimation of a nation. And we're going to talk about that in some ways on a daily basis on the Savage Nation. Now, before the show is over, I have to go into this scam of global warming. I know weather is on everyone's mind in the East Coast because of the blizzard coming in. Not unusual for a winter. There's always blizzards. Some are bigger than others. In fact, if you study any science at all, which obviously Bill Clinton never did, lecturing him in the middle of this, lecturing on global warming, I guess they haven't cashed in enough on that one. They haven't gotten the cash registers running on that to the extent they'd like to yet. You'd find out that a couple hundred years ago, there was a little ice age, long before the Model T, long before the Industrial Revolution, long before man had any impact whatsoever on the climate. There was a little ice age, and people were freezing to death, and it was so vast, and it lasted for so long that people thought that it was fate itself that was moving the icebergs down from the north into the south. In fact, there were great stories about priests in Sweden holding a cross and a Bible, going to, in front of their congregation, walking in front of a glacier coming down at them. It was moving. It was moving down into the villages of the mountains of Sweden. The priest went in front of the ice and prayed to God to stop the advancing ice. That was the Little Ice Age. What did that have to do with man's impact? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Does that mean I want pollution? No, but I can guarantee you that if you look up Michael Savage, you'll see that I trudged for many a decade saving many rainforests as opposed to the frauds in the global warming racket. The greatest scam since The Godfather.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-7282. Savage. We'll be right back. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Welcome to The Savage Nation, the most skeptical show in radio. The phone numbers, if you don't know them, there's one open line at 855-400-7282. If you get on this show, you'll reach more people than you've met in your entire life, which is true. You can't write a letter to the editor. You know where that goes. It goes through the progressive filter system, right down the toilet. Anything that respects borders, language, and culture is laughed at and thrown in the garbage by the Stalinist New York Times, which I've affectionately called the Old York Times for years. I mean, it has really gotten bad. I mean, I thought the Red Diaper Dopa Babies were limited to the universities, but apparently the Red Diaper Dopa Babies are still writing the headlines. Taking office, here's today's Thursday, January 2nd, 2014. Taking office, de Blasio vows to fix inequity. Now, how do you fix inequity? Well, you take from the workers and you give to the deadbeats, to the leeches. It's that simple. 50% of your income isn't enough. Make it 80%. Then the leeches will demand 90%. Then give 100% and the leeches will say he still has nicer shoes, a nicer car, and a nicer wife than I do. He stole it from somebody. So then the next demagogue will come along and say de Blasio was a far-right politician. He didn't take enough from the rich. So take the shoes, the wife, and the car. And there will be Bill Clinton cheering from the sidelines, hanging around with the 0001% as calling himself a member of the Occupy group. You know, these people are such skilled con men that they could sell ice to stoned Eskimos. They could sell ice to stoned Eskimos. I mean, this is nothing new. Progressive. Inequality. Inequality. Inequity. Code words. Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, they all wrote about it. How'd that work out for the Russians? How'd that work out for the Russian people? Let's take some calls. Let's take some calls. WABC Pauline, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. The reason I called, I just wanted to let you know what makes your show interesting. It's that you're not locked in on one subject. You may start on a political issue, and then you may go to how you spent your day, a little story about Teddy, where you're going for dinner, you talk about boats, history. It's interesting and it's educational.
I haven't done that versatility today because it's a new show, a new time slot, new listeners. I'm sticking more or less to politics, but in time, once they understand who I am, I'll tell them all those stories. The fact of the matter is we have a giant political wind blowing at us, and it's coming from the far left, and it threatens to destabilize the ship of state. And we must stand up to this, because this is a frightening situation. When you see the Pope himself espousing what Trotsky wrote about, you have to worry. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
So today you're stuck in Manhattan. Where do you live in New York?
In Brooklyn.
And is it it's not snowing yet, is it?
No, it's supposed to start, but if you listen to the news, it sounds like the end of the world is
coming. Yeah, the end of the world. The idiots who moved there from Minnesota, Cleveland, Arizona. So snow is coming to New York. Can you imagine in January? What a shock. It must be global warming. It must be climate change bringing in the snow, huh?
It's a laugh, I tell you. You listen to it, it really sounds like, you know.
Are they all stoned? Do you think that they're all on drugs? Does that explain it, or are they just stupid?
I
don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer. I think it's a combination of brainwashing in government schools and marijuana. Well, many of these people in the news business started on Adderall. Remember, they've been drugged since childhood. Their mothers were drug addicts. And so they were put on Adderall because they showed the behavior of a normal child. They were considered deviants. They showed curiosity. They showed mischievousness. They showed the ability to stand up to authority. These were all considered deviant behaviors in the government schools. So they were put on Adderall to control them, and now they're working for the government media complex. Thanks for the call. I hope you keep listening. Stuck on a ship of cold fools. It's a great editorial in today's Australian. It's about the fools, the global warming hucksters called scientists, journalists, and other hangers-on aboard the Russian ship stuck in ice in Antarctica. Now, I happen to be a student. One of my great heroes were the Arctic and Antarctic explorers. I steeped myself in their history, so I know some of the great stories. But when you see these fraudsters on this mission, which they established to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the melting ice caps would decimate the Earth with new waters as a result of climate change, they had to abandon their so-called mission because the ice, in fact, is so impossibly thick. The aim of the Australasian Antarctic expedition, led by the crackpot Chris Turney of the University of New South Wales, was to prove that the East Antarctic ice sheet is melting. His fraudulent crackpot website spoke alarmingly of, quote, an increasing body of evidence showing melting and collapse from ocean warming. So he got millions of dollars in grants, connived the ship, and he's stuck on the ice now. Instead, rescue ships and a helicopter, all belching carbon emissions, had to be mobilized to pluck those aboard the icebreaker MV Adamic Shokolivsky from their plight. Stuck what appears to be ironically record amounts of ice for this time of year. Now, what's the lesson for those fraudsters who persistently exaggerate the impact of global warming? Huh? I mean, I'm concerned about pollution. I've worked against it my whole life. I've spent years collecting plants that I thought would be extinct for the betterment of mankind. I've published books on it. But to take sensible policies and use exaggeration to try and promote sensible policies shows us what happens. We have to recognize the real science. The real science shows there are variations in how climate is changing and what impact man can really have upon it. I'd love to see solar cars. I'm a car collector. I have all sorts of cars, from slow vans to fast sports cars. But if they invented a real solar car, I'd drive one. I'd love to be able to ride around in a nation that's free of carbon emissions. But we don't have it. We're not there yet. But to use fraudulent science to promote such a vision is ludicrous. Professor Turney's expedition was supposed to repeat scientific investigations made by a scientist of 100 years ago and to compare them then to now and show that the ice was melting. But you should know that even 100 years ago, the explorer Mawson's ship was never icebound. It was not even icebound 100 years ago. Why? Because sea ice has been steadily increasing despite the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's gloomy forecasts. And so here we are, all of these fraudsters on the ship. You paid for it, the government's paid for it, and have they learned their lesson? Will they apologize? Will they give up that field and go to work in Starbucks? Will they say, I was a fraudster, I was mistaken? You know they're not going to stop, any more than Bill Clinton will stop, any more than Al Corleone will stop. They'll continue the big lie. You wait and see. You wait and see what Barack O does when he comes back from vacation. You wait and see what he talks about. It'll be amnesty for illegal aliens, when all they bring to this country is hard labor and they take everything else. They get free medical services, free police services, free welfare services, free housing services, free legal services. Their children are considered more of a citizen than your children. They're given grants and scholarships which they don't deserve and they're not entitled to. And they'll talk about illegal aliens, non-citizens, with a greater fondness than they do about the taxpayer. And then, of course, he'll follow that up with, perhaps after another mini vacation somewhere, with a call for stopping global warming. Nothing will stop these progressives except, and I'll tell you what it is, but today is not the day, because I know what it is. It is a nationalist plank in the Republican Party. That's the story for another day. We need a strong nationalist plank jammed onto the good ship Republican, or we're all finished. You can't create a third party. It'll only elect a Democrat, as we saw with F. Ross Perot. That was the lesson of that election. All it did was reelect Clinton. So don't be deceived. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. Let's go to Eddie on WABC. Eddie, go ahead, please.
Michael, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being on the radio.
Thank you. I give it my all. That's all I can do.
You do it, let me tell you. I wanted to make a prediction that de Blasio will make marijuana legal because marijuana is the merit badge of the left and has been since the late
1900s. Yes, of course, right. It's a symbol of freedom, but as George Orwell wrote, I hear the left screaming, I am free, I am free, I am free. And the more they scream, I am free, the louder I hear their chains rattling.
And the music will go with it. The music.
Yeah, no, it's sad to see an entire generation of drug addicts thinking that they're so free. I have a couple of questions, though. What about driving while stoned? Is there no law against that? I mean, we shouldn't drive when we drink. We know that. We've all learned that. What, driving when stoned is something good? And what about this? I hate the smell of tobacco smoke in a restaurant. I'm glad they got rid of it. Must I smell marijuana wafting at me in the streets? I find it offensive. I'm allergic to it. I find the stink of skunk weed obnoxious. It makes me sick. I'm allergic to it. Why do I have to inhale a secondhand smoke from a pot smoker? Tell me where it's written that they have the right to pollute my lungs with their garbage.
They don't.
They don't. No, but the demagogues like de Blasio, and make no mistake about it, he's a well-known factor. He's nothing new under the sun. De Blasio is what's known as a demagogue. Just look it up. Look it up in the dictionary if you still know what a dictionary is. A demagogue appeals to the lowest common denominator. And so, of course, what you predict will happen. It's that simple. Demagogues are very predictable. It doesn't mean that they're not powerful. They can be extremely dangerous as well. By the way, how do you like the new time slot, Eddie?
I think it's terrific. And you certainly deserve it. And you reach more people. And it's easier to listen to you at this time of day. So congratulations.
Like a guy like you, if you are a regular listener on WABC, you're still listening. Where are you listening? At home, in a car, at work, where?
I'm at home right now, but I listen to you in the car also when I'm there.
When your wife's not in the car, you're allowed to turn it on.
There you go.
All right, Eddie, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for listening to the show. It's Bob Grant died. You look at the Drudge Report, radio legend Bob Grant dead, which is, he was a great guy. I think I had Bob on a few times when I was on ABC and he was on, we crossed at some point, I forget exactly what, but he certainly was the father of a lot of what we all do, you know, really, when you think about it. And there he is, gone with the wind. Who'll remember anybody? No one remembers anyone the next day. That's okay. Bob Grant, father of radio, dead at 84. Veteran New York radio personality Bob Grant, widely regarded when inventing the conservative New York radio, formerly died at the age of 84, passed away New Year's Eve, according to the Branchburg Funeral Home. Well, all right. After many a summer dies the swan, the way of all flesh, you know what I'm saying? Bob, you are a great broadcaster. I hope you're in heaven. My mother's waiting for you with some Veronicas. 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN. The only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
There's your Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
When a liberal hears German, they think, of course, of only one thing. Even if the German language is speaking in progressive rhetoric, they think of Hitler. To show you how biased the liberal is, they hide under their bed. The minute they hear Rammstein, they hide under their bed. They think it's a right-wing organization that's playing secret music with secret messages. Dialing the mayor's office when they hear rums. Half of Brooklyn is jamming up the switchboards right now, thinking that the Nazis have invaded New York City. Oh, God, what a country. What a nation of sheeple. Good God. We're surrounded by Islamo-fascism. The entire Middle East is on fire because of the bungler in the White House, and they're concerned about equity and fairness in the United States of America like they invented the term. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Instead of joining together as a people to protect ourselves from the real forces of evil, the real forces of internal evil divide us in order to push their personal gain. And take a guess who really gains from all of that. Why, it's the encircling Islamo-fascist movement around the globe. A house divided cannot stand. We should be united, not divided, but we have nothing but divisive politicians from head to toe. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282. Let's go to WMAL in Washington, D.C. Donna, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi. Congratulations, Dr. Savage. I want to speak with you about the communist, the martyr for horses, de Blasio. He wants to have the horses discontinued.
Yes, the poor carriages. By the way, those horses are treated better than most animals around the world. The carriage horses are treated very well. They are not abused at all.
Oh, it's amazing. He's claiming to save them. But I think what's ironic is, wasn't it Obama who permitted a law for people in America to consume horse meat? And
it was to permit the continual slaughter of wild horses in the West. The great liberal Obama, the surfer. We call him Surf City USA now. You shouldn't mention the fact that he's doing anything wrong because he is on vacation. He's entitled to a vacation. After all, he just came back from South Africa. Didn't he need another vacation?
Guess he needs another dozen more, huh?
The most expensive vacations of any presidency in American history. I will never forget when he flew to Martha's Vineyard last summer. Then Mrs. O took another vehicle, and they flew the dog, Bo, on an Osprey helicopter all by himself. You talk about the one percenters. It doesn't get any more arrogant than the occupants of the White House, does it, Donna?
No, it doesn't. On and on it goes.
I guess that makes us racist for seeing what's really going on, Donna. Is that the game? If you say the king has no clothes, the answer is, the knee-jerk liberal answer is racism? Yeah, well, you know what? They can say it all they want. No one believes them anymore. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be back. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America right here on your local affiliate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Still stuck on a ship locked in by thick ice.
The Aurora Australis can't get through due to the ice conditions.
Global warming.
Global warming is real.
Global warming.
From global warming.
We are paying the cost of carbon pollution.
Throughout the night, snow continuing to pile up in Chicago. Millions from the Midwest to New England will be impacted.
Global warming pollution.
Global warming.
Global climate change.
Signs of climate change.
Global warming.
These hucksters could sell ice to stoned Eskimos. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Blizzard is going to hit New York to Boston. Global warming is obviously behind the snowstorm. We've never seen it before. Never seen snow in the East Coast in January. Ask Bill Clinton. The Courier and Ives prints about colonial America or post-colonial America with snow. Those were fake. There was really no snow on the ground. That only happened as a result of great shifts in the climate, as a result of man's interference with the historic weather patterns. You know, it would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous and so many powerful demagogues were not in so many seats of such power. So I ask you this question in the Savage Nation. Are you ready for this question? Because it's a tough one. What do you fear Obama will do in 2014? What are your worst fears? Let me repeat it in case you missed it. What do you fear Obama will do in 2014? What are your worst fears about what he's going to do? Now, you may think I'm being a fearmonger or an alarmist. I get it. But everything I feared and wrote about him and liberalism in my many books has come true. Going back to Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, published in 2005. The subtitle was Saving America from the Liberal Assault on Our Schools, Faith, and Military, published in 2005. Tell me, the liberals haven't assaulted our schools? They haven't assaulted your faith? They haven't assaulted our military? Or how about The Enemy Within, going back a little farther, which I wrote in 2002? Was I wrong when I wrote The Enemy Within? Do you remember that book? I think I may even have a copy here somewhere near me. Here it is, 2002, Michael Savage, Saving America from a liberal assault, from liberal assault on our schools, faith, and military. Well, I'm not going to read the book to you, but I'll read you something else from the book. And whoever can tell me who this person is wins a free copy of one of my current books. Who wrote this? A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Who wrote that and when was it written? One of you must know it. The phone number here is 855-407-282. Now let's go to some of the calls. Dan, I'm WJR. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you are a mensch among men. Let me quote something you wrote in the Savage Nation. If you speak three languages, you're trilingual. If you speak two languages, you're bilingual. If you speak one language, you're an American. I speak one language. I am an American, and I refuse to learn Spanish in the coming years. What do you think about that, Dr. Savage?
Well, it's an interesting statement. I have nothing against learning Spanish. I prefer to continue to learn English because it's a language that is immensely complicated with a phenomenally large vocabulary that requires constant refreshment in order to speak it properly. I wonder how many of these, quote, bilingual individuals actually can speak English properly. I wonder how many of them know all of the elements of this language that they need to know. So I would say to you, sure, if you're good at languages and you have the time, learn another language. But until you can speak English properly, why waste your time? Borders, language, culture, 855-400-7282. Bob on WJR, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Savage. It's, I just can't explain how elated I am to hear you on this time slot right now here in Detroit. This gives me such great hope right now. Because just hearing you and knowing how many more people you're going to be able to spread your message to makes me excited. It gives me hope for this new year.
Bob, you know what? I share your exhilaration. Believe me, I share your exhilaration. I know what you're saying. There are people who've never heard me. They heard of me, but they're going to hear me and say, you know what? That guy makes sense.
Absolutely, and you have changed my life, Dr. Savage. I've been listening to you since I used to deliver pizzas as a young man. At nighttime, I'd listen to you from 6 to 9, then I'd re-listen to you from 9 to 12 on another station. And let me say, you changed my life by, you have solidified my faith in God and my faith in this country. What you said about God by saying that God is omnipresent, not omnipotent, and your explanation on the different faiths, how you've explained we're all part of spokes on a big wheel. You have hit the nail on the head, and you've changed my life. The life.
You know something? I got chills up my spine and down my legs from what you just said, because in this business, you say a lot of things. Some of it is comedic in the political arena. Some of it is not thought out as well as other things. And then you get a caller like you who remembers the essence of the importance, and it comes back at you in a way that's awe-inspiring, to be honest with you. I remember explaining the spokes on a wheel. I remember explaining how God lets evil people thrive and the good people, let's say, die, and why there are so many children, for example, suffering and dying of cancer, for example, or the Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans who come home butchered and they're spit upon by the liberals in this country. And you ask yourself, how could a good God let that happen? And I explained it to you because I had read it a long time ago, which is that God is not omnipotent. He doesn't control every act on the planet. He is omnipresent. And I think that put me at ease, and if I can, send it back to you, I must have reached a lot of people with that one.
You absolutely have, and I'm so glad that you're on this time slot so I can listen to you. I'm no longer delivering pizzas late at night, so I can listen to you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are you doing, may I ask?
Unfortunately, I'm in the retail business here in Detroit, which is, it's the...
Wait, hold it. Detroit? Retail? Are you... There are stores. Are there stores left in that beautiful city?
There's a few nice places left, but
How could a city that was once so great have been reduced to near rubble? Answer: liberalism. It is a plague. Whenever it hits a city, the end line is Detroit.
Yes.
I mean, it's the model. It's the model for progressivism. It's the model of what unions will do when they take over a city. It's the model of what liberals do when they expand the welfare class and decimate the middle class. Anyway, look, there's still hope because hope springs eternal, Bob. And this is really only the first day of the rest of my radio life. I want to thank you so much. I'm going to send you a copy of any one of my books. Just stay on the line. We'll just send it out to you. It's that simple. Yeah, I remember that one of the spokes on the wheel. I was slammed for that when I first explained that all religions have validity. I know many people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that only their religion is the path to God. But I'll just give it to you in a 1 minute or less because it just triggered that. I mean, why not? Why not now? What should I save it for, a religious holy day? Here's the way I see it. We live in a pluralistic nation. We live in a pluralistic world, obviously. You can't say that only your religion can lead to God. You can say it if you want, but it can't be true. How do you explain the billions of other people? Are they all infidels? Because then you're joining the radical Muslims who believe that exact thing. The radical Muslims say only their way is the only way to reach their God, Allah. Well, we know where that's led. We know about their slaughter and their mayhem and the insanity of such a position. So we mustn't imitate the radical Islamists who say that only their way is the only way to God. So I see it another way, which is that there's a big wheel. God is at the center. God is the hub. And there are many spokes that lead to that hub. And those are the five principal religions that we know of, and perhaps some minor religions also on that wheel of religion. That's how I see it. And whether you saw the Native American who was worshiping the great spirit in the sky, what do you think the Native American was reaching for in his prayers, in his shamanistic practices? He was trying to communicate with that great power, and that's what all religions do, incidentally. We mustn't forget what all religions originally were intended to do, which was to communicate with that great power. But I don't want to get into a religious show right now. I have to save that for a night show, because right now it's sort of, I don't know, why can't I do religion in the middle of the day? Who says I can't do it? Just because it's Thursday doesn't mean I can't do religion, right? But let's not do religion. Let's talk about a government that we fear. Let's talk about a president who speaks out of both sides of his mouth. He claims he's a progressive, claims he's a liberal, and yet he's introduced a spying network that would put the East German Stasi to shame. He's put in place a dangerous spying network that would put the ex-Soviet spies to shame, and gets away with it because people are afraid to say a word for fear of being criticized as being racist. For example, we have a new communist in power in Manhattan. Call him a progressive if you want. The rhetoric is the same. And he brought some character up to speak named Fred Lucas Jr., who I never heard of, who then gets up during the inauguration ceremonies yesterday or the day before, and he calls New York City a plantation. You must hear clip 9. Listen to this.
End the civil wars and usher in a new reconstruction era that builds upon the many successes and achievements of yesterday, while proclaiming the beginning of a new beginning. Let the plantation called New York City be the city of God, a city set upon the
hill. Right, we heard the hogwash. Yeah, right. A plantation called New York City. A plantation called New York City. Now, this would be laughable if it was on Saturday Night Live, or if it was on King of the Hill, or it was on one of the other cartoon networks. But this character, who I never heard of, was invited to give the invocation during the ceremony bringing in New York's new governor. How in the world can the man cite the Civil War and slavery and a Reconstruction era? How can he do that? We have affirmative action. We have welfare. How many other programs do you need for people who claim it's society that did it to them? How many more programs do you need? What will satisfy? Shall we all be victims, willing victims of the knockout game? Shall we all walk out on the street and say to one of the members of his congregation, please knock me out because I'm guilty? Will that put this to rest? What will put it to rest? When will you wake up to the fact that this is nothing but a gigantic con? So let's go back to the main question of the moment on the Savage Nation. I'll ask it again because I think it's a dynamic question. And I'll ask it again. I said to you at the beginning of this hour, or actually the beginning of this half hour, what do you fear Obama will do in 2014, your worst fears? Now, again, before you say, uh-oh, he's a fear-monger, he's an alarmist, I will remind you that everything I feared about liberalism and have written about in my many books has come true. Everything I warned you about, everything I told you they would do, they've done. They've decimated our schools. They've attacked our faith. They have deballed the military. And they've only just begun. And Obama's a young, strong man with three more long years to do perennial and permanent damage. So what do you fear? Huh? You feel like calling to say, oh, we got a winner. We got a winner on the quote. I was waiting for that winner. We don't need more. Who was I quoting when I said a nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious? Who was I quoting? Gary on the great WBAP. I got to take a break. Gary, I'll be right back to take your calls right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Well, the governor of New York has closed the LIE and declared a state of emergency due to the winter storm that is sweeping through this afternoon and this evening, which is, of course, a good idea. This is something that needs to be done. I remember when I was a little boy, they closed the LIE and other highways long before the shysters blamed it upon man himself. They understood that Mother Nature had her own time and her own moods. But, of course, they'll capitalize on that since the people are so stoned they don't know the difference between north and south, east and west, up and down, straight and narrow, and twisted and ugly. They can get away with anything. They could sell ice to the Eskimos, these people. 855-400-7282. We have a winner, Gary, on WBAP. He knows who wrote The Enemy Within. He knows who wrote it. Gary, welcome to the Savage Nation. Who did I quote when I quoted that long quote? Who was it?
That would be Cicero.
Bingo.
Marcus Cicero, right?
Marcus Cicero, Roman orator, 542 B.C. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. Boy, how come he knew that it was going on in ancient Rome and we don't know about it here? How come he was able to say there were traitors in ancient Rome, but we can't say there are traitors to America in America today? When did it become illegal to say that you're a traitor to this country's values? When did it become illegal to say you're a traitor if you don't support our borders, language, and culture? You're a traitor and we'll call you out on it. You're a traitor for supporting illegal aliens, not citizens. You're a traitor for telling us that other languages are superior to ours. You're a traitor when you say we have no culture. When did it become illegal not to say that? Tell me.
Yeah, well, you know, he got murdered over it. I mean, he had his political fight with Mark Antony, so...
Yeah, well, where's the Mark Antony of our time?
Yeah.
I know Aristotle was given hemlock. I realize that. Today they're giving the youth marijuana instead of hemlock in order to make sure their brains don't work any sufficient to even understand what they're doing to them.
You know, yes.
Just as the English dumped opium on the Chinese to enslave the nation for quite a long period of time, the marijuana peddlers are enslaving an entire generation with the big lie that it's something healthful. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. Let's go to Marcus on the Internet. Marcus, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, my God. Dr. Savage, how are you doing, sir? I've been waiting for this for 10 long years. I've been listening to you, sir, since 2005, and I got to honestly say, sir, you have been my idol. I'm 30 years old. I'm married, two kids. Sorry, I got firefighters in the back.
Marcus, you're short on time, but you're long on ideas. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. God bless you for listening. I love that I inspire you. I love that I inspire a man like you with a family. Keep fighting the good fight, Marcus. To everyone else, give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back at the top of the hour.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Brought to you by your Northern California Acura dealers at AcuraNorCalDealers.com.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For the loser now will be later to win, for the times they are a-changing.
This guy's singing my song, The Loser Now Will Be the Win, because I was the loser for many years in radio, and now I'm the win. Thanks, Bobby. The greatest songwriter of our time is Bob Dylan. I was thinking about that this morning. By the way, welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation across America in the new time slot. And I recognize that while on the West Coast it's only like 7 minutes after two or whatever, it's 5:07 on the East Coast, and millions of people are listening to the show and they want news. And I'll give you news, but you have to understand my show is much different than just, you know, bang you over the head with ideas and then go to the news. I can do that. I've done it for 2 hours. But sometimes I reminisce. Sometimes I move into subjects that are not related to the stories of the day, and you'll have to get used to it. I'll give you a story of the day, okay? You know that global warming is the greatest scam of our time, and you know what it's all about. It's international socialism. It's an attempt to garner the economies of the Western nations. It's a scam to tax the middle class, to steal more of our money, and to disperse it to the con men. The fake solar contracts, which I will read to you one of these days. I have a list of all of them that were granted by Obama. You have no idea how many billions have been given out. I mean, I'm talking about scam upon scam, companies that took hundreds of millions of dollars, in some cases $1.3 billion, and produced nothing with it. Well, now you know there's an icebound ship in the Antarctic, right? But do you know that 98% of the stories that were covering it from the fools in the media refused to state that the icebound ship was on a global warming mission to prove that there was global warming? That's how bad the so-called slavish media has become in the United States of America. I got to remind you, the press was once considered the fourth estate. It was supposed to be the watchdog for the people. Instead, it's become the lapdog for the government. They won't tell you that it was all about global warming, proving it, that it proves that they were wrong. Nothing. Nothing. Good Morning America, garbage. You name the show. Garbage. One garbage program after another. They were like Izvestia or Pravda in the ex-Soviet Union. That's all our media has become. So you ask yourself, I played Bob Dylan at the beginning of this hour, right? The loser now will become the win. Why was I playing that? Why did I feel that? Why did I get emotionally moved by that? Because for 20 years, I've wandered in the desert of radio until this day. 20 years I've wandered in the desert of radio. Now look, I've been on some great stations, but in a different time slot. As you well know, after I go off the air, most normal people don't listen to the radio. It's a different thing. I mean, I was on it, and I know what it is. It doesn't mean they're bad people. But most normal people, at the end of drive time, turn the radio off. I used to be on in that slot. I crave to be on in this time slot. So now the loser has become the win. So what about all the people who put me down? All the people who criticized me? All the people who thought they had me pigeonholed and put into a little box and they could just throw the box away? All the people who were a member of that gigantic radio cartel, a little group with certain websites and certain radio shows who sneered at Michael Savage? Well, all I can say to you is welcome to the program. Hello, infidels. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. This is just the beginning. It's the Savage Nation. At the bottom of the last hour, I asked a poignant, pregnant question that I think is valid. I will ask it of you again because it's a very serious, it's of great concern to me. What do you fear Obama will do in 2014? What are your worst fears? Say, oh, why? This guy's a fearmonger. He's an alarmist. Well, my friends, everything I feared and wrote about in my many books about liberalism and about Obama, unfortunately, have come to pass. They have taken a scythe to our institutions. When I wrote The Enemy Within, which I'm quoting, it's not my only book or my oldest book. It was published in 2000. I have to find the year. It was a fabulous book, by the way. Never 2003, written in 2002. The Enemy Within, right? So what was the cover? Saving America from the liberal assault on our schools, faith, and military. Is there one person listening to this show who can honestly say that the liberals have not decimated our schools, our churches, and our military? You'd be a liar if you said so. Or you wouldn't know what the heck you're talking about. You'd be one of those ignorant voters who doesn't know what's going on around you. I tried. I did the best I could. I've been doing it. I've been fighting the good fight. Should I quit because I haven't won? Should I quit because the reverse has occurred? Should I quit because the worst of America has risen to the highest places? Should I quit because a crypto-Trotskyism is raging from the Vatican to the White House through New York City's corridors? Should I quit because people who are espousing civil war initiated and inaugurated the mayor of New York, talking about New York City as a plantation, in essence, wink, wink, telling those on the plantation to kill the slaveholder? Shall I tell you that I should quit because of that and run away and hide? Well, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to dig my heels in and I'm going to expose them to the best of my abilities. It's that simple. The progressives are the new communists. They are demagogues down to their lowest cell. The cell in their toes are the most evil cells on the planet. They do not mean good for the people. They have no desire to help the poor. They have only one desire, which is to enrich themselves and their cronies. That's all they stand for. They're demagogues, and they're dangerous, and they're destroying the country. Everywhere their policies have been tried, the nations have collapsed. And everywhere they have collapsed the nation, they've been rejected, except in the United States of America, where the ignoramuses in this country, the drug addicts in this country, don't even understand what they're dancing to. So we have a lot of work ahead of us. Talk about global warming scams. Talk about all of the administration scandals, each one of which is an impeachable offense. I have amassed for you a list of all of the fake solar companies or the scam artists, and I'll give you their names. Evergreen Solar of Massachusetts received $3 million from the federal government and $21 million from the state. Lost 800 jobs and moved operations to China. SpectraWatt of New York received $500,000 from the federal government. A subsidiary of Intel Corporation lost 100 jobs. Solyndra of California, remember that one? Received $523 million from the federal government. Over 1,200 jobs lost. The money was never returned. The FBI seized their records after bankruptcy. No one has gone to jail. Beacon Power of Massachusetts, $43 million from the federal government. Nothing produced. Eastern Energy of New York received $17.1 million from the federal government. 500 jobs lost. Nevada Geothermal of Nevada received $98.5 million from the federal government. The company is owned by a Canadian holding company. Sun Power of California, follow the money. $1.5 billion from the federal government. Who is Sun Power? Who owns it? What amount of kilowatts or megawatts have they produced? 1,500 jobs lost. First Solar of Arizona received $3 billion from you. 2,100 jobs went up in smoke. Babcock and Brown received $178 million from the federal government. 1,000 jobs lost. It's an Australian equity investment company involved in U.S. energy products projects. How'd they get that grant? Whose parties did they go to? Yours? Enter One of New York received $118 million from the federal government. 600 jobs lost. What did they do? They manufactured electric car batteries. This is just the beginning. It runs 3 pages long. Most of these scandals have been buried by the useless idiots who I'm embarrassed to say call themselves journalists. And my friends, if you want to talk about fairness and equity, you want to talk about fairness and equity? Why don't you find out where that money went, and why don't you see if you can recover it? This is the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls. 855-400-7282. Remember, I have a website, which I will refer to right now. I'm not going to hammer it a lot, but it's michaelsavage.com. There are better sites, bigger sites, more reactive sites, but this is my site. And there's a great picture of me and my mascot, his master's voice, little Teddy there, and the little... it's a beautiful blue color, I got to tell you. I put a new title on it today. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. And on the right, you see an article, Michael Savage takes over Sean Hannity's slot. That's from the Daily News. Below it is a great story, very insightful. Michael Savage's dream come true, written by my friends at World Net Daily. And then there's news, you know, below that. I don't want to read you the stories. I think you should read them yourself on this snowy evening, which was the night before Christmas when all through the house. Now, I've been thinking about that because of the mice in my house. I've been having to knock the mice off here. It's awful. Really terrible. I don't like getting that trap with the neck, with the eyes, with the throw in the bay. I got a humane trap. The mouse laughed at me. I had mouse traps. So I put a little cheese in it. All right, I don't enjoy it. Let's face it. We eat animals, but who wants to see them dead? I come home and the high squeal. One night I came in with the dog, and there it was behind the bread box. It had been trapped, the poor rat, and it wasn't dead. That was the horrible thing. So what are you going to do? I put a glove on, a big fat glove, and I took the trap, and I said bye-bye, and I gave it a little Noah's Ark job in the bay. Because what are you going to do? Rehabilitate it? Take it to a veterinarian? I mean, it invaded my house. It was eating my bagels. It was...
Savage.
1836.
Bum. See, today they're bum. They're a homeless. He was what was known as a hobo in those days. And there were people who were hobos. They were sort of respectable in their own way. That was his job category. He's like hobo. He would put it on the IRS. Like, what do you do? Job category, hobo. I don't know what he made. Next to nothing. But he lived up in this, as I say, ramshackle, barn-like structure with his. He had a wife, actually. And Woodchuck Bill would regale us kids with his stories.
Shooting. Why has the Muslim major Nidal Hassan not been found guilty and executed like the pig he is? I'll say it again, like the pig he is. He executed 13 American soldiers, including a pregnant woman. He injured 35 or 40 people. He has still not been tried, found guilty, and executed. Why? Who's protecting him? Well, it could be the same elements within the White House or within the Defense Department who put all of the Navy SEALs on that old helicopter. Who are they? How about this scandal? Solyndra, where's the money? Where'd the $500 million go? Who bought a mansion with the money? Who bought a yacht with the money? How about the Obamacare website, which cost allegedly $800 million? She's a friend of the First Lady. Why is she not in prison? Why has there been no hearing on that? What other scandals have been forgotten? So don't think that this is all rhetoric or that this is just alarmism or fear-mongering. You want to talk about a plantation? We, the taxpayers, are the slaves on Obama's plantation. How's that? Christian on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to hear from you. I'm a 23-year-old man, listen to your show all the time. Got to say, this is a cultural revolution I have been waiting for. I'm sick of this liberal disorder that is going on in this nation today. Sick of it.
Well, are you a worker? Obviously, you pay taxes and you see what's taken out of your check before you get it. Isn't that what's going on?
Yes, that is exactly what's going on. My father and I are trying to start a business together. It is hell to go through.
How? Wait, in New York City, you mean the bureaucracy?
It's ridiculous. De Castro, I cannot believe people voted for this man.
Well, you had a 17% turnout, and most of them were people who were given some benefits from the government. They were instigated to come out by the very well-organized communist progressive left. In the old days in Chicago, they'd give out small bottles of brandy to get drunks to vote. In New York City, they give out certain other benefits to get them to vote, if you get the picture. Thank you for the call. Yes, someone has to speak for the people. Believe me, that's what talk radio is all about, as long as it lasts. Until the, quote, fairness people and the progressives suddenly decide that they don't like the competition. The progressives, they don't like competition. They can't hold an argument. All they can do is put out the inflammatory rhetoric that stirs up people against people. John on WABC, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, before I tell you what I admire most about you, I've been listening to you for quite a while, I'd just like to say we've gone from God bless America to goddamn America in less than one generation.
Oh, let's add that. Yeah, and I wonder who said that. Wasn't that Obama's spiritual advisor?
Yeah, the Holy Reverend.
Yeah, the Holy Reverend. Well, apparently de Blasio has a runner-up now, another Holy Reverend. They found another one.
Yeah, well, you know something, Dr. Savage, what I admire most in you is your integrity. You're like what Americans like myself and my parents used to be. You put yourself and what you want to accomplish before putting the accolades and boosted wealth that you may get if you deserve by hard work. not putting the accolades and getting more wealth first. And the hell with integrity, self-pride, honesty, and putting the taxpayers first.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I'm not going to call myself a great American. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you?
That works for me, a true American.
How can any American on the radio call himself a great American with not laughing at himself? Can you explain that to me?
No, you're not a great... I'm not saying you're...
I'll tell you who the great Americans are. The great Americans are in the ground in the veteran cemeteries. That's who the great Americans are. They're not on the radio. They're not in politics. They're in the ground. God bless America. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America right here on your local affiliate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. 30 shows to a more powerful vocabulary right here on the Savage Nation. That's not a bad moniker either. 30 shows to a more powerful vocabulary. There was a book way back when by Funk and Lewis called 30 Days to a More Powerful Vocabulary. Can you imagine I had to read that when I was in high school and learn English? Now you got rap stars who speak 80 words of English. They're worth $80 million. Go figure. 80 words of English. They're worth $80 million. How does that work? I mean, the more you know, the less you earn. Is that it? The dumber you are, the higher you go. The smarter you are, the lower you go. Does that work? Pennsylvania rabbi sued for cutting off a baby's penis during a bris circumcision. This is not Saturday Night Live. This is unfortunately a true story. A Pennsylvanian rabbi is being sued for botching a bris. God. Botching a bris. That wouldn't be a bad rock song, botching a bris. It could be a whole group called Botching a Bris. I could see a lesbian punk rock group called Botching a Bris. If I were a rock promoter, I'd look for a bunch of women, and I'd call them Botching a Bris. A Pennsylvanian rabbi is being sued for botching a bris by accidentally severing a newborn boy's penis. The lawsuit issued in the city of Pittsburgh alleges the incident happened at the Tree of Life Synagogue. You talk about an irony. Tree of Life Synagogue in Squirrel Hill. I almost moved there once. Earlier this year. Rabbi Mordechai Rosenberg, 54, was named in the lawsuit as presiding over the circumcision on April 28th when the eight-day-old boy's penis was severed. His website asserts, quote, a doctor's medical circumcision usually performed in a hospital is not considered valid according to Jewish law, close quote. Well, I would suggest that the hospital might be a better choice. I would say even an Obamacare circumcision would be better than this. Rabbi Rosenberg told local news service KDKA, I am trained in this. I am trained in this, he said. The incident was a tragic accident in a horrible situation. He continues to perform circumcisions. Oh, my God. PittsburghTribLive.com reports attorney Neil Rosen, who represents the mother, father, and child, called the incident unimaginable. He's right. The child's parents rushed the boy to hospital. The baby underwent 8 hours of emergency reconstructive microsurgery. Oh, my goodness. The procedure involved 6 blood transfusions, and the baby remained hospitalized for 3 months. Spokesman said the surgery was risky. Sometimes it doesn't always work. When you're reattaching a portion where you include nerves, sometimes the nerves don't heal well. Now, this is a sick story, actually. The American Academy of Pediatrics, 1 in 500 newborn babies experience. What? According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, 1 in every 500 newborn boys experience significant acute complications as a result of circumcision. Circumcision is not regulated in the U.S. because the practice is considered a religious ceremony and not a medical procedure. Well, let's play the Joe and Paul song and invite some calls.
Joe and Paul, let's go to party, knieken, brabrilla, Joe and Paul, that let your bully creaking, brabrilla, suit, a coat, a geek, zole, perfect, I fit and daft here, kuiven, nor by Joe and Paul.
All right. Get a nice shark skin. Unbelievable. Could you imagine if that happened to your son, what you'd do? The guy is still performing circumcisions. God forbid this was in my family, he wouldn't be performing a circumcision. I would have circumcised him from the head up after this. How can he still be performing circumcisions? It's just an accident. What do you mean an accident? That's your job, you moron. That's like a plane crash, killing everyone aboard. You lose your pilot's license, you schmuck. If a surgeon severs an artery while performing heart surgery and the patient almost bleeds to death, he will probably not perform cardiovascular surgery after that. Isn't that correct? But this guy, because he calls himself a rabbi, he gets away with it. Everyone's afraid of a religious connotation. How many mutts in this world hide behind a collar or a whatever, a religious garb? Forget about these things. These stories get me so mad. People are so afraid of the, what's the word for it? The shibboleths of our society. Well, let's go back to irregular programming on the Savage Nation and take some calls. I asked you, what do you fear the surfer will do in 2014, your worst fears, and that's not a bad one. Not a bad one. WMAL in Washington, D.C., Stephen, welcome to the program. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, great to hear you in afternoon drive time.
Thank you.
My fear that I thought was going to happen in 2016 but maybe moved up on the Obama schedule is issuing an executive order to give the District of Columbia statehood and two senators.
Well, how could he do that? Just by the stroke of a pen, the surfer gets to do that?
Well, they've already basically said the Constitution doesn't matter with recess appointments or whatever. Lately, they've been saying all they have to do is pass a law, but he's shown with Obamacare you don't need to pass laws anymore. So just
no. How many different scandals can they find on Supreme Court Justice Roberts and hang them over his head in order to get him to move with the wobblies? I mean, Roberts was against Obamacare before he was for it. And then all of a sudden, they must have found something in the distant past that they dangled around there, and out of nowhere, because like a Godfather scene. Oh, Don Corleone, we don't know. No, Michael Corleone, we don't know Michael Corleone. We don't know who he is. We have no idea. Oh, him, yeah. He used to run a pastrami stand in my neighborhood. No, I don't think he could get away with that with the stroke of a pen. Doesn't Congress have to vote on that?
Well, that's what some people say, but that has...
Don't forget, we also have the very, very stringent, strong, rock-ribbed John Boehner there in the cloakroom to protect us, who I affectionately call Clink, because apparently sometimes he stops with the... Apparently he stops the ice once in a while and looks up and comes out and just says something. John Boehner comes out of the cloakroom. The next thing you know, everything's all right. He works, you know, he protects us from the progressive cancer. I don't know. It's a definite fear. This guy's capable of anything, you know. I don't know. You really think he would do that?
Yeah.
Executive order to make Washington, D.C. a state? Who would be the senators? Eleanor Holmes Norton or Al Sharpton?
Eleanor Holmes Norton would be one. I don't know who the second one is.
What, he can make Jesse Jackson a U.S. senator. He can go right along with Al Franken. There's a few other clown costumes waiting in the cloakroom for him. They got a few more. Thanks for the call. WABC, Fran, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your worst fear? Go ahead.
It was worth waiting for you. I am so pleased that you're on the air. Really, you're a terrific guy. I've been listening to you religiously. However, I never got a chance to speak to you. Well, now I'm going to...
Well, now you do, because we have more time. It's earlier. I'm not tired. You're another one of my millions of infidels who listen to the show. What could be better?
My biggest fear, okay? I'm 70 years old, so I'm your age, sort of. You're a little bit younger, I think.
I'm 49, yes.
Okay. Well, no, 39.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm 39, right.
Anyway, my biggest fear is that this guy that we call the president, he's going to want, something is going to happen that he's going to declare martial law, and he's going to stay president for like, I don't know how long. And
well, my fear is that he will try to eliminate term limits. He will not declare martial law by fiat. He will have the demagogues in place, such as the ones who are in place, start calling for a constitutional amendment or a constitutional convention where they eliminate term limits so that he can run again. That is my fear. But that scenario is diminishing for a couple of reasons. He's not reelectable because he is detested by his own party members. He has the powerful opposition of the Clinton machine, who is salivating to get back into office. They've only had 8 years at the helm of America. Apparently they need another 8 years. Eight wasn't enough. I mean, I thought there were supposed to be term limits. She was a co-president for 8 years. That should count, shouldn't it?
Yes, it should.
Yeah, well, all right, here we go again. So the Clinton machine's not going to roll over for the Obama machine so quickly. They would oppose that. Notice I don't say anything about the invisible Republican Party that doesn't exist. No. But okay, we all have fears. We have real fears based upon reality about this man's behavior. It's that simple. 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. WJR Dan, you're up from Pittsburgh on the Savage Nation.
Greetings, Doc.
No, I'm sorry, WJR, you're in Detroit. You're in the great city of Detroit. Thanks for listening. Great station. What's on your mind?
It must be the act of God that I got through on my birthday. I'm just turned 50 today. I was born January 2nd, 1964, sir.
Well, you're a young man. You're a young man. You got plenty of nightmares ahead of you.
Yeah, I remember it was 1-800-449-8255.
You remember my old phone number going back a long time now. And sometimes I get tongue-tied. It's been a year with this new number. I still try to say the old number. It's amazing. Well, thanks for calling on your birthday. I'm going to send you a birthday present, a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, my latest and most important book, because, unfortunately, we have Trickle Down Tyranny. See, if it was, see, here's the thing you got to remember about me. If it, hold on. I don't even have the book here. Trickle Down, I have Trickle Up Poverty. I don't have Trickle Down Tyranny. Everything I feared and predicted would happen is happening. Everything I feared and predicted would happen under him is happening. So who was right, me or you? I mean, do you want to be right or you want to be smart? I know what's going on. I know what's going on. Do you know what's going on? That's the question. Question is whether you know what's going on, not whether I know what's going on. Now, we haven't played some great sound that my crack team of Neil West, Doug Lynn, and Phil Newmark put together from 6 o'clock this morning. I woke up at 6. I was excited today with this show. Wow. This was like a child after Christmas with a new set of trains till I went on the air today. 6 in the morning till I went on at noon. We have sound that has to be preceded by the Deo song. Play the Deo song for a minute, and then you'll know where we're going with the sound. Deo, remember Deo? Deo. Daylight come and me wanna go home. You know the song? Come on, Neil, let's go for it. It's called National Radio. Deo, but oh, we don't have it. Okay.
Come, Mr. Dolly Man.
All right, nice song, nice rhythm, nice beat. We all liked it when we were younger. Who would think that this guy is such a moron? Who would think a guy who could dress up in such a Chiquita Banana outfit and have such a nice lyrical song like that would turn out to be a communist lunatic? And would not only that, but be used at the inauguration of a mayor of New York City.
7 foot, 8 foot punch!
Would you believe this? Listen, I want you to listen to what Deo had to say in clip 13. You got to hear this. 13.
While it is encouraging to know that the statistics have indicated a recent drop in our city's murder rate, New York, alarmingly, plays a tragic role in the fact that our nation has the largest prison population in the world. Much of that problem stems from issues of race.
If you can't do the time, don't do the crime, Harry. Harry, don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time. It's that simple, Harry. They're not in prison because of their race. The prison is there because they either killed someone, knifed someone, robbed someone, raped someone, stole from someone. You get it, Harry? It has nothing to do with race, Harry. It has to do with crime. Don't do the crime if you don't want to do the time. So again, the demagogues are at it, and they dig this guy up, Deo. Play Deo again for a minute. It's actually a nice... We can't...
Work all night,
yeah, on the way out to the break, play Deo. It's the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America.
Banana till the morning come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
On 560 KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. Welcome back to the program. As we swing into the last 5 minutes of this 3-hour marathon, I got to tell you, this is the greatest day of my professional radio life. I worked 20 years for this opportunity. I want to thank all of you who have been listening to the show for so many years and moved with me through stations and times for being with me on this day, because today it is a day, for example, that I will never forget. Never. Never. It's hard to believe it's here. It's like when you're a kid and either you're going to graduate or your confirmation or your bar mitzvah or a wedding or a negative thing, you know, the days you fear or the days you dream of. When it actually comes, you can't believe it actually happened. That's the kind of way I feel right now. So that's simple. I'm kind of punch drunk, happy, dazed, dizzy, tired, elated, happy, long day's journey into night, all of that at once. And yet here on the West Coast, it's only 5 minutes to three. Would you believe it? Now, what the heck am I going to do with myself? I don't even have a show to do in 3 hours. What am I going to do? It's still light out. It's frightening. It's like agoraphobia. The daylight has become like agoraphobia to me. There's a day out there that I have to fill. That's where the trouble is going to begin, I can guarantee you. Now that I look at it, I think the night show kept me out of trouble. I may have to ask them to put me back on in the evenings. Or maybe I could do two shows a day. I could just take a nap, take a shower, get up, go to an early bird dinner, and come back and do a night show. Why not? What else is there out there? Is there life after radio? The answer is I doubt it. Once this gets in your blood, there's nothing like it, I got to tell you. And it's been quite a day. If you've been with me from the beginning, you know how excited I have been today, and this is someday, and we have many, many topics. Many topics. Alan on WFTL, fire away. I think you're going to be the last word of the day, 30 seconds or less.
The history like I am, and I just like to throw something out at you. In a brief 50 years, we've gone from Eisenhower being our Caesar, Reagan being our Augustus, to Clinton being our Caligula, and now we have Obama, who's our Nero, watching our country burn.
That is so well put. You know your emperors. You are absolutely a historian. You must be, Alan. I wish you'd call tomorrow as an opener. Get Alan's number. Call him as the opening. I'd like to do the whole sequence of emperors. Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, or as I affectionately sometimes call you, infidels, remember what you heard today. Give me 15 minutes, and I'll give you America. This is Michael Savage saying good night. And good luck.
Savage.